Very loved here, and room. We, you know, serving God is a unbelievable privilege, and today, the older you get, the less you need, and I'm just really happy doing this with you. I'm happy that the next couple months here I'm locked in and don't have any travel for like 3 months. So I get to be with my favorite people in the world. But I'm also happy how beautiful my family is and how all my kids love Jesus. They love each other. They're close with each other. They're close with us. It's just, for all we've been through, it's just a testimony of God's love. We serve a good God. Hey, this morning I have a message called, It's Time for a Kindness Revolution. It's really a piggyback message to Wednesday night when I spoke on overcoming the spirit of offense. If you get a chance to listen to that message, download it or get the CD. I think you'll really be helped by it. But before I jump into my message, let me read something funny. A couple was celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. Their domestic tranquility had long been the talk of the town. A local newspaper reporter was inquiring as to the secret of their long and happy marriage. "Well, it dates back to our honeymoon," explained the husband. "We visited the Grand Canyon and took a trip down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon by pack mule. We hadn't gone too very far when my wife's mule stumbled. My wife quietly said, 'That's once.' We proceeded a little further and her mule stumbled again. Once more, my wife quietly said, 'That's twice.' Hadn't gone half a mile further when her mule stumbled again for the third time. My wife quietly removed a revolver from her purse and shot the mule dead. I started to yell at her for her treatment of the mule. She looked at me and quietly said, 'That's once.'"
Wait a minute. I didn't approve of that joke in the first service, and so I found a good one that I'm going to share, okay? In honor of the Super Bowl, what do you call 53 millionaires around a TV watching the Super Bowl? The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh. Ouch. Good one, honey. I think my joke offended less people than yours, though. I just sort of tell you. Mark Twain said, "Kindness is the language the deaf can hear and the blind can see." My first point to you is our wonderful and loving God is always kind to us. The attributes of God are unending, they're eternal, they're inexhaustible. And God, in the core of his person, possesses the eternal attribute of kindness. Psalm 117 says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us." Anyone that gets close to God, you start identifying the specific behavioral characteristics, the attributes of who God is. And David said, "Hey, God's merciful kindness." What a great description of the heartbeat of your loving God. He is kind in thought. His thoughts towards you are kind. Psalm 31 said, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." God's kindness is a marvel to us. It awakens our praise. It awakens our response of worship. It's so easy to worship a kind God. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, talking about the embodiment of kindness is Jesus. But here's what happened. We were lost. The world was estranged from God because of sin. And God refused to let it be that way for eternity. And Titus 3 says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy he has saved us with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." when the kindness of God, Jesus is the proof of the kindness of God. The kind heart of God is expressed in the life of Christ. And the kindness of God was lived by the life of Christ. Jesus was kind to people even when he disagreed with them, which was almost everybody. You with me? Nobody had the same wavelength of understanding that he had, yet he was constantly kind. The only people he railed at were religious people, not lost people. Interesting. In Joel chapter 2, the Bible says, talking about God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. He relents in doing harm. Judgment is God's last resort. But he is great in kindness. That's who God is. Even in the old covenant, where people did not have the same comprehension of God, they did not experience him in the indwelling way we do as the temples of the Holy Spirit being born again, there was the understanding of the kind heart of God, that he is a kind God. Nehemiah says the same things in chapter 9. But you are God, ready to forgive, to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness. Abundant in kindness. He is always kind. Think about enduring thousands of years and now billions of people, so many people not even reflectant or conscious or honoring to God. Yet God is, Jesus said, he's kind to the just and the unkind. He's kind to those that don't know him in the expression of his blessings over creation and giving them life. Isaiah talks about this kindness of God in a beautiful way. And verse 8, with a little wrath I hid my face from you. Of course, God possesses the capacity of anger, but anger is not his dominant characteristic. His kindness or love is a stronger controlling attribute than his justice, his demand for justice, which awakens anger. With everlasting kindness. See, his anger has a limited moment, but his kindness, what? Everlasting. With everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you. Aren't you glad for a kind God? Come on, it's really important. We were lost, we were sinners, we've come to Christ. It's really important that as believers in Christ, that we adopt God's heart toward a fallen world. And that we don't treat them unkindly, because God was not unkind to us when we were lost. Okay, he was not condemning or unforgiving, but he was not distant. He was engaged. He sought you. He pursued you. He went after you. He loved you into the saving grace of his son. And it's important that we possess that same kind of covenantal expression. David, of course, the warrior king, the worshiping warrior. No man was more manly than David. He was a champion of champions. But David also expressed a tender heart that was reflected in kind treatment toward people. He showed kindness to Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth. So David was a person. You can be, I want to say these three things. You can be very strong and still be very kind. Okay, so I'm not asking the men of this church to become women. Okay, I'm not asking you to not be masculine. I'm asking you to be as macho as you want to be. Just be kind. Add to that kindness. Amen. We have to discipline our children, but be kind. We have to sometimes confront people in business and in life. Yeah, but you can still be kind. You can disagree with people and still be kind. Anybody here lost any friends on Facebook? The Great Civil War of 2000. Okay, so what we want to do, you rarely convince a person by argument. Say, okay, you rarely win battles by argument. You rarely lose battles with kindness. Oh, I like that. Me likey. Okay, so in Jeremiah, there's a beautiful story of kind of the transformational work of grace in our lives. to help us. So you can be very strong and still be very kind. You can be very godly and still be very kind. Now, this is really important because one of the things, so a few months ago, I had a chance to prophesy over the Bethel worship team. And I prophesied, and then Stephanie, what's her face, came to me. She said, hey, Pastor Mike, she said, that's like the kindest prophecy we ever got. Now, there was a bunch of accuracy in it. There was a bunch of word of knowledge. There was a bunch of deliverance. I mean, some really cool signs happened in it. But the thing that stood out to her was the kindness. You with me? Kindness is taking me places in the world that even the accuracy of my prophetic gift doesn't take me. You need to get that. Because people are tired of being abused by so-called godly people. And I don't know about you, I don't need any more prophecies that make me feel worse afterwards than before. Thus saith the Lord, I'm angry with you. Oh, wonderful. No, but so we have to get it right. And of course there's, in every life there's different. So you can disagree with people and still be kind to them. You with me? So stop waging war with people. Just be kind. Let's show this generation, if the church can't model kindness in the midst of this civil war, then we are just victims of a fallen culture. We're no different than them. We have to show, I'm not asking Democrats to become Republicans unless the Holy Ghost leads you. I'm not asking that. You with me? I don't care if you're independent, Republican, it doesn't matter. Just be kind to people. You with me? Stop calling every Trump supporter a racist. Stop calling every Clinton supporter a baby killer. You with me? What kind of language is that? My God, the church should never be like that. And even if you believe those things, listen, if you can't be kind, be quiet. You with me? Just fathering you today. Just fathering you today. So, because people are all the time, people try to entice me in this stuff. I just laugh at it. You're kidding, right? Pastor, what do you think about? Someone asked me, what do you think about the refugees thing? Well, here's what I think. The only church in Phoenix that's making a difference with refugees is Church for the Nations. Now, I have different opinions about the government letting in people in, especially from dangerous parts of the world. I don't know if that's always the wisest thing. But listen to me. I'm doing something about it. This church is doing something about it. We're helping those people. Not just complaining that they're here. We are engaged in real help. So as long as that's the way the government has it, we'll keep doing that with great love. So we have Arabic church, Ethiopian church, Eritrean church, Myanmar church, Nepalese church, Bhutanese church. You with me? Spanish church. We have churches in all those languages helping those refugees find Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. Who would have thought of that a few years ago? Unbelievable. But if things change, things change. That's one thing, to sit in the sidelines and just be a constant critic. Just get involved. Let's just be kind. Let's love. Let's do whatever we can. If things need to change politically, so be it. And be more spiritual than political. Okay? Just be more spiritual. Go ahead and be political, but be more spiritual. Be more spiritual. Okay? Sorry. Talking about politics. Might as well talk about sex now. Cover everything, one service. Jeremiah, someone said, yeah, let it rip, Pastor. Jeremiah 52 is an amazing story. And the whole story revolves around one man named Jehoiachin. Came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, the 12th month, the 25th day, that evil Murdoch, the president of Fox News, king of Babylon, just having fun with you. Don't go there. in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, brought him out of prison. Now, so Jehoiachin, he wasn't 37 years old. He had been in prison 37 years, probably since around 12. He had spent his entire adult life living in the wrong place. And so another king came, and he liked Jehoiachin. And he brought him, oh Jesus, thank you for bringing us out of prison. Come on now. Your worst day as a believer is better than your best day as a sinner. The prison doors have been opened. Sin no longer has you. Hell no longer has a reservation for you. Satan no longer has dominion. You are set free from the prison. So he opened the door. He brought him out. But here's what happens. See, you can live in something so long, it becomes your identity. So he was a king, but he had the mentality of a prisoner. So Jehoiachin is going to be transformed by the care and the kindness. Here's what happens next verse. Verse 32. And the king of Babylon spoke kindly to Jehoiachin and gave him a more prominent seat than the kings that were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. Now, see, you get saved, but your soul still needs some work. Your soul still remembers your past, who you were, the prison you lived in, the pain, the sin, the bondage, the injustice, all of that. And so Jesus in the kingdom, Jesus by his word and spirit keeps speaking kingly, kind words to you until your identity shifts from a prisoner to a king, to a queen. So he's the king says, I want to help you think like a king again, and spoke kindly to him. And then the Bible says beautifully, and Jehoiachin himself changed his garments. See, no one can make you feel different about yourself until you're ready to. And the assignment of the Word of God is to give you your kingdom identity. You're more than a divorcee. You're more than a bankrupt. You're more than your moral failure. You're more than your past. You're more than the devil's condemning. You're more than that. You're who God says you are. And so every conversation with God is going to be about your identity, which God will kindly keep reintroducing to you, reinforcing with you until you get it. You're a king. You're a queen. You're a history maker. You're a world shaker. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. You can do all things through Christ who loves you. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ who died for you. You are who God says you are. That's who you really are. So Jehoiachin, he modeled what God does for us. Last point today. We are never more like Jesus than when we show kindness to others. Okay? So, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, Jesus was the embodiment of love. And one of the strongest attributes of love is kindness. Galatians 5 says it like this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. So being kind to people is a reflectant of Christ. I was checking out of Safeway on Tuesday night, and there was an elderly woman in front of me, and she was paying for her groceries, a couple carts of groceries, and the cashier was nice to her. He said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry your car didn't go through." And this poor woman, she was, you know, flummoxed. She was upset. She was embarrassed. She put that card in her purse. She raced out of that grocery store, and all that happened. And I'm like, wow. So it took me like 20 seconds to gather it, and I said, Hey, cashier, go get her. I want to pay for her groceries. So he sprinted into the parking lot. He raced out the door. And it looked like we were chasing a shoplifter. You know, he raced out the door, and he brings her back. So she went out of the store like this. She came back. Her face was glowing. She walked right up to me, gave me this huge bear hug. I said, "Thank you so much." And I said, "Jesus loves you so much. God bless you." And listen, during that time, I could have debated her the relevance, the theological relevance of Romans chapter 1. Could have talked about Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. We could have argued about justification, sanctification. We could have talked about predestination. Could have talked about, but just one act of kindness she'll never forget. See, small acts of kindness done with great love change the world one life at a time. One life at a time. When we are kind to people, even if they're unkind to us, we demonstrate that we have a standard within us that isn't determined by people around us. We don't show kindness to people because they're kind to us. We show kindness to people because we are kind. Oh yeah. So the I forgot the best part of the testimony. The lady gave me her Quick Pick tickets. Mary won $15. It's sanctified because we didn't buy it. We just received it. Hallelujah. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 4 will be my main text here about kindness. Let no corrupt communication, words proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Words that build up, words that are grace-based to others. I do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. So the most common way Christians grieve the Holy Spirit is by their words. It's not necessarily the most immoral way or the most devastating way. It's by far the most common way. Okay, so you'll feel an internal contradiction. You'll feel a quenching inside of you when you say things that are contrary to the orchestrated design of God's will for you to say to people. Like I said before, disagree with people. Just don't be unkind about it. And so anyways, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit by what we do. We quench him by what we don't do. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So don't be bitter. Don't be angry. So unhealed hurts grow into angerous roots of bitterness. So don't wake up every day angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't be an angry person. See, when you forgive people, God anoints you to forget the pain they've caused you. You don't have to be bitter. You can get better. Mary and I made a covenant in a couple weeks. A couple months, we'll celebrate 38 years of marriage. And as we do, one of the things we said 38 years ago is we would never go to bed angry at each other. That's why I look so tired all the time. Just kidding. It's not true. You know I was joking, right? Yeah. Okay. So we want to put them away. So the Bible gives the emotional government of your life is under your stewardship. So here's the second thing. And be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Three things. So be kind. To be kind, you have to be tender. Now, have you noticed that life wants to make our hearts hardened? One of the best benefits of worship is the tenderizing of your soul. Okay? It is a beautiful benefit. Because living in the world, our hearts get hard. And so hardness of heart, Christ spoke about it, Hebrews teaches about it. It's a symptom just of living in the world, and we have to be in charge of making sure that we don't see. You've been overexposed to human suffering in the media, and if you're not careful, you just get hardened to all suffering. We don't want to walk past this suffering world and not feel something. You with me? At the same time, we don't want to die by overexposure to human tragedy. So in the nightly news, they won't show you what's happening in your neighborhood. They'll go across the world and find some horrific tragedy, throw it at you. It's too much. So you have to monitor, make sure your heart doesn't become hardened where you can't feel for people anymore. Okay? So we want to be kind, tender-hearted, and then forgiving. The way our hearts become hard often is through unforgiveness, through an offense. So we want to be forgiving of anybody, of everything. Okay? God's forgiven you of everything and has invited you to live like Him and being a person of forgiveness. Okay? Forgivers. So someone, oh, Pastor, what's the secret to a great marriage? The secret to having a great marriage, is made up of two great forgivers. Okay? That's what it is. So every 5 or 6 years, I have to forgive Mary of something. Every 5 or 6 minutes, she has to forgive me of something. Works out good. I don't know. It just balances out somehow. Okay. Uncommon kindness is the most powerful, least costly, and most underrated agent of human transformation. Uncommon kindness. So just startle the people in your world. Just look for chances to God through your behavior to show a kind act to people. Y'all with me? So we're not kind to people because they're kind to us. We're kind to people because we are kind people. Unkind people need kindness the most, by the way, okay? Kindness is powerful. Kindness is undefeatable. If we want the world to become kind, we have to be kind. Ministry that is not couched in an atmosphere of kindness will always misrepresent the heart of God. The truth absent love becomes an error. The truth becomes an error without love. Jesus didn't have to agree with people to be kind to them. Our job is not to judge. Now, of course, we discern. That means that we don't condone things. But listen to me. Our job is not to execute a sentence of punishment because we've made a judgment against people. So to say things. Okay? Our job is not to judge. Our job is not to figure out if someone deserves something. Our job is to lift the fallen, restore the broken, and heal the hurting. Last thing I'll say. If you must choose between being kind or being right, choose being kind and you'll always be right. Okay? So there are countless moments that I'm in an environment where I know something that the person doesn't know, that I could say something that would be true but hurtful. You with me? And there would be no consequence of benefit to the person. Don't say it. Don't say it. No need to. Why give them more burdens to carry? So, Lord, thank you for being so kind to us. Come on, let's thank God for His kindness to us. God, thank you. We celebrate a kind God. We're so grateful. We're overwhelmed with gratitude for the inexhaustible kindness you have toward us. And Lord, I pray today that people would leave this place feeling that the kisses of a kind God came on their soul. And that you would help us, God. Yes, be strong as you want to be, but be kind. You can do both. They're not dichotomous. They're not contrary. They fit really good together. And I pray, Lord, this week, give us opportunities to be kind to people, to show Jesus to people. Amen. Now, this church, you guys treat me so nice, but every week people say things to me that are inappropriate for my stage, for my accomplishments, for my position. Now, I don't beat the hell out of them. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. That's not who I get goofy prophecy. None of that bothers me, church. Why should I let that bother me? You with me? It just shows me who they are. It shows me how I can pray for them, how I can help them. It gives me a chance to minister to them in a different, more accurate way. So don't let people make you into someone you never wanted to be. You be who Jesus wants you to be. Hey, would you stand your feet with me? Altar team, prayer team, would you join me at the front? High five someone and say, kindness is cool. Hey, this morning as we close the service, don't forget your cupcake. Got one for everybody? Please, someone eat two for me. I'm not going to have one. So you have mine. I want to stay on my treadmill an extra hour for a cupcake. Today, Jesus wants someone to know he loves you so much. And the Bible says, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, leads us to come to God. A kind God calls out your name, calls out to you in a loving way, come home, come home, come home. If you've never received Jesus, or if you've been away from Jesus, if you've never known God's forgiving grace and his love, today's your day to receive it, to know it, to be changed by it. We would love to pray for you at the altar. If you've been away from God, man, make Super Bowl Sunday in 2017. Your Super Bowl with God day. If you are hurting today, I felt so many miracles being released. If you need a physical healing, we'd love to pray for you. Now listen to me. I want the people that were wrestling with suicide to come forward. The people that were wrestling with grief. You keep getting prayer all service long. Let us keep praying for you. Anyone needing prayer, come and join us at the altar. If you've been coming here a while and you wonder why we talk in strange languages, it's called speaking in tongues. Is a gift of the Holy Spirit for every believer. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'd love to pray for you if you don't have that yet. Anyone wanting prayer, come forward. The rest of us for a moment, just worship along with us. To. We'll pray as long as we need.